A year later. The trial. Day one. Monday, August 17, 2009.
Chapter 1.
Young Yu. She felt like a bride walking into the courtroom. Certainly her wedding was the last time, the only time that a room full of people had fallen silent and turned to stare as she entered. If it weren't for the variety in hair color and the snippets of whispers in English as she walked down the aisle, "Look, the owners. The daughter was in a coma for months, poor thing. He's paralyzed. So awful." She might have thought she was still in Korea. The small courtroom even looked like an old church, with creaky wooden pews on both sides of the aisle. She kept her head down, just as she had at her wedding 20 years ago. She wasn't usually the focus of attention, and it felt wrong. Modesty, blending in, invisibility. Those were the virtues of wives, not notoriety and gaudiness. Wasn't that why brides wore veils? To protect them from stares, to mute the redness of their cheeks. She glanced to the sides. On the right, behind the prosecution, she glimpsed familiar faces, those of their patients' families. The patients had all gathered together only once, last July, at the orientation outside the barn. Her husband had opened the doors to show the freshly painted blue chamber. "This," Park said, looking proud. "It's a miracle submarine. Pure oxygen. Deep pressure. Healing. Together." Everyone clapped. Mothers cried. And now, here were the same people, somber, the hope of miracle gone from their faces, replaced by the curiosity of people reaching for tabloids and supermarket lines. That and pity, for her or themselves, she didn't know. She'd expected anger, but they smiled as she walked by, and she had to remind herself that she was a victim here. She was not the defendant, not the one they blamed for the explosion that killed two patients. She told herself what Pak told her every day. Their absence from the barn that night didn't cause the fire. And he couldn't have prevented the explosion, even if he'd stayed with the patients and tried to smile back. Their support was a good thing. She knew that. But it felt undeserved. Wrong. Like a prize won by cheating. And instead of buoying her, it weighed her down with worry that God would see and correct the injustice, make her pay for her lies some other way. When Young reached the wooden railing, she fought her impulse to hop across and sit at the defense table. She sat with her family behind the prosecutor, next to Matt and Teresa. Two of the people trapped in Miracle Submarine that night. She hadn't seen them in a long time. Not since the hospital. But no one said hi. They all looked down. They were the victims. The courthouse was in Pineburg, the town next to Miracle Creek. It was strange, the names, the opposite of what you'd expect. Miracle Creek didn't look like a place where miracles took place, unless you counted the miracle of people living there for years without going insane from boredom. The Miracle name and its marketing possibilities, plus cheap land, had drawn them there despite there being no other Asians, no immigrants at all, probably. It was only an hour from Washington, D.C., an easy drive from dense concentrations of modernity such as Dulles Airport. But it had the isolated feel of a village hours from civilization, an entirely different world. Dirt trails instead of concrete sidewalks, cows rather than cars, decrepit wooden barns, not steel and glass high-rises. Like stepping into a grainy black-and-white film, it had that feel of being used and discarded. The first time Young saw it, she had an impulse to find every bit of trash in her pockets and throw it as far as...